Blog Talk Radio.
Your host. Today our topic is credit repair, does it really work? Our special guest today is Shane Cabell with Elite Credit. He's a partner there and author of Freedom. This is Freedom Thinking Credit, Freedom Through Credit, I'm sorry. He's the author of that book that's available on Amazon. If you have any questions, we invite you to call in at 347-324-3460. 347-324-3460. When you call in, we just ask you to turn down your radio and press 1 on the keypad to let us know you have a question. Also, you can pose a question in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and read out aloud. Shane, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Great. Thank you for coming on. Credit repair. The topic today is credit repair. Does it really work? I guess to begin with, tell us about yourself.
Sure. Well, again, my name is Shane Cabell. I'm a FICO Pro certified credit consultant. I've been featured on Fox, NBC. I'm a credit expert witness who can be called to testify in a court of law on the topic of credit. And I'm also author of the best-selling book on Amazon. You can actually get a copy of Freedom Through Credit. So I've been involved in the credit services industry for over a decade. And our strategies that we use with Elite Credit are going to be taught nationwide and used nationwide to help people quickly and legally correct their credit reports.
Okay. In credit itself, the credit repair industry, I mean, it's kind of a gray area. And once some people, they want to know, okay, does it work or it doesn't work? Can you talk about the system itself that you're kind of have in place in order to get negative or incorrect information off a person's credit report?
Sure. Credit repair in itself is 100% legal. It's a regulated industry. So credit repair can work depending on the strategies, the effectiveness, the experience of the professional actually implementing the credit repair or the strategies to fix the credit report. Credit repair is regulated by the Credit Repair Organizations Act, so that's the law that regulates credit repair organizations. And consumers are going to have the ability to legally have negative, inaccurate, untimely, or unverifiable information removed from their credit reports.
Wow. Now, I know, I mean, today credit is more essential than in the past. I know it affects your employment. It keeps you, even if you're a banker, you must maintain your good credit standing. It affects you on interest rates with your car loan, your home loan, credit cards, even licenses, professional licensing. So they actually pull up your credit to check and see what type of risk you are. So it does affect your life, and you really, really need to take care of it and maintain it and check on a regular basis. Also to make sure your identity hasn't been compromised as well. But it was just even in the news just a few years ago, they talked about even your insurance, rates are affected by credit. So in that process itself, in the past several years, this is more important than ever, how can a person who wants to apply for a house, apply for a loan, what process they really need to do with the first step of getting a copy of their credit report, and then from there, if they look at their credit report, to kind of challenge some of the negative information on there, say it's inaccurate or incomplete or no, I didn't do this or that. Can you talk about the step-by-step your company normally would go once that person has contacted your company and retain you to work on a credit report?
Sure, we'll get into that. But first, let's just identify somebody obtaining their credit report.
Okay.
There's a lot of advertising that's done on the television
okay.
that you can get your free credit report here. And now if everybody notices, it's free score instead of free credit report because there was litigation over that area. The only place to get a true free credit report is through annualcreditreport.com.
Okay.
Again, annualcreditreport.com. That is the only place to get a truly free credit report. So if consumers want to know what's on their credit report, you get a free copy, at least one free copy a year, depending on the state you're in. So that would be where you want to go to get a free credit report, if that's all you wanted to do. If you're going to apply for a mortgage and you're going to get a home loan, you know, there are industry-specific credit scoring models. So if you're going to get a home loan, it's best that you contact a mortgage professional, and then from there you're going to have a better idea of, you know, where you stand. If you just want to make sure that you're in the best possible situation possibly for a job, obviously to make sure your insurance rates are as low as they can be, to get the best rates and terms on a home loan or a vehicle loan, you know, you would want to obtain a credit report. And then from that point, if we were to work with you or talk with you, you know, we will audit your credit report. And we will go through to find things that it could be incorrect, things that may not be the same across all three credit reports, things that you are unaware of. Oftentimes, errors will see things like duplicate reporting of collections, late payments when a consumer was not late. And it's just a transfer of data. You know, there's a lot of data that moves around every single day. You know, there's 3 billion pieces of data is the statistics that I pulled that are moved a month. You know, that's just a lot of information that's transferring from a creditor or a collector to the credit bureaus, and then the credit bureaus then also push that information to lenders. So there's a lot of information that's being moved around. So there, a lot of times, you know, there's going to be errors. There are going to be inaccuracies. There are going to be things that can be harmful to the consumer that they don't know until they actually get into the place of trying to buy a home or trying to buy a car. And that is actually our specialty, is that we really focus on helping people to fix their credit for the purpose of loan approval.
Okay. Can you talk about the three credit bureaus themselves? You just mentioned about annual credit report to get a copy of your free report, but also you can get it from the three credit bureaus. Can you talk about the credit bureaus themselves, the names of them? And
sure. Well, okay. The big three right now are Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And there is a fourth that's growing tremendously, just like TransUnion ended up becoming the third major, who is Innovis. So that is the fourth comer who's coming up. But, yeah, we have the three major credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Been around forever. You know, the credit bureaus actually started as like a welcome wagon where, you know, they would come knock on your door. And when the welcome wagon came to your door to knock on your door, they would, number one, take note of the car you were driving. And then number two, probably poke their head in and see what kind of furniture you had, how you were dressed. And they would notate this information. And then as time progressed, you know, they put systems in place, and, you know, your credit is 100% used as a character reference. You know, when you're, like you said, professional licensing uses that now. And the last statistic I read was about 80% of government jobs and even military to get promoted for security clearance are looking at credit.
Wow. And what was the fourth one you mentioned? You said the new one is coming out. It's called... What is it called again?
It's not coming out. It's been around forever. It's been around for many, many years. It's just growing in size. It's growing in the – because bottom line, what the credit bureaus are is they are databases. The credit bureaus are paid to store and sell information. So that's what they are for. And the fourth one would be Innovis, I-N-N-I-O-V-I-S.
Okay.
And they are – growing in size tremendously. I think eventually they could potentially be the fourth big major that people are comparing for things like jobs and loans.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that they specialize that's spurring that growth?
Not necessarily. They took over, I believe they took over another company's database. But, I mean, if you go on to their website, you know, innovis.com, that's just, you know, they're just another big one that's coming around, and they've been around for many years, over a decade.
Oh, wow. And I know that – what is the difference between CSE and is it Equifax?
Equifax.
Okay.
They are actually in Texas and Wisconsin. They are going to be the ones who actually hold the data. So they are a different company. They're a big data holder and provider. And like in the dispute business, so if you have a dispute on a credit report in Wisconsin and Texas, if you dispute to Equifax, you will receive responses back from CSC Services.
Okay. So they're partners or the same company?
They're not partners, and they're separate companies, but they control the data. They control some of the data.
Okay. Okay. Any particular differences between these data agencies? I mean, they're pretty much the same thing, or is it some that's bigger in different regions, like you just mentioned in Wisconsin and Texas, like TransUnion, you know, why, you know, they might be in the Midwest or something like that. Is it by regions why these companies are involving, or is just certain agencies or certain creditors just report to certain ones, or why we have so many? Do you know, Pam?
Why we have so many?
Because
it's a great industry. It makes a lot of money. It's a billion-dollar industry. I'm surprised that there's not more. There are a lot more smaller credit bureaus. But as far as, like, geographically targeting, you talked about, like Equifax, you know, is out of Georgia. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of things in that area. TransUnion is out of Chicago. So you're going to have the Midwest, like in the automotive industry, will use TransUnion a lot. But in the mortgage arena, most mortgage companies still use all three. So they'll use all three credit bureaus. And most companies that I am aware of will determine loan approval based on a FICO credit score.
Okay. And what's a FICO credit score?
Sure. Fair Isaacs Corporation is a totally separate entity. It's essentially like an add-on to a vehicle. So it's not when people are... will say that they have their credit score. They may purchase a credit score from some of those websites they have where you can buy your credit scores, but the only one that I'm aware of that lenders use are going to be the FICO model, and that's just a risk predictor. And what the FICO is used to predict, the risk the general model is used to predict, is the likeliness of somebody paying 90 days late or more in the next 24 months. So last month is going to have the largest impact, and then if you go 2 years ago, if you had a negative account 2 years ago, that would have less of an impact, and then the further away you get has less of an impact.
Okay. In this range, can you tell us what the ranges are, if you know?
Sure. Well, there's going to be a published, we'll go off the published model,
300
to 850, so 550 points. 300 to 850 is the published scoring model. But there's things like more complex, like a bankruptcy FICO score, the scoring model, goes up to an 836. So there's going to be specific industry-specific models. So like the mortgage arena has a FICO score. So if you went to purchase a car this week and you had them look at your auto FICO, there's a couple things why it would be different. But number one, they place different importance on different items.
Okay.
Obviously, to a automotive finance company, it's going to be more important that somebody pays their vehicle than maybe their home. And on the other side, a mortgage is going to be more important to a home finance company that somebody is paying their home loan over their vehicle loan. And then there's going to be consumer models, and there's consumer finance, credit card models, there's insurance models, there's a lot of different models, but there's primarily four of them, three of them that are used in our everyday day-to-day lives, which would be the mortgage model, the FICO model, and then the consumer finance or credit card model from FICO.
Okay. Anything about age or experience that would get a person to an 850 score that plays a part of that model?
850 I've never seen. I don't know anybody who's ever seen an 850. I think that, you know, that is something that's just, that's perfect, right? That's a perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something, perfection is something that's just not attainable. It's a direction we try to go. But perfection, again, in the credit scoring model, I've never seen it, nor do I know anybody who ever has. I've seen in the high 820s. And that typically is going to be, like you said, from an aged credit file, somebody who has, you know, like a 20-plus year credit card with perfect revolving history, perfect payment history.
Okay. And what about a 300? I mean, my gosh, I mean, you could have tax liens or bankruptcies in order to get really a 300 score?
Sure. Again, the model is only used to predict. Now, there's industry-specific, but the model is only used to predict the likeliness of somebody paying 90 days late or more. So it doesn't, it's not used to predict bankruptcy. There are bankruptcy scorecards. But as far as getting down to that 300, I've never seen that either. I mean, I've seen in the 300s, but I've never seen down to the bottom of the barrel.
Okay. And that can just totally negative credit in order for a person to get that low, in essence.
Well, right. It's going to be more recent negatives. It's going to be reoccurring negatives. It's going to be more severe negatives. So things that you talked about, tax liens, judgments, bankruptcies, foreclosures, short sales. But again, nothing is, nobody is required to report to the credit bureaus. Just when they make that choice, then they make that choice to step into all the laws that are out there for consumers, that everything they report must be 100% accurate, 100% timely, and 100% verifiable.
Perfect. Talking about bankruptcy and liens that can impact your credit score, are those really difficult items to get off, or can you get those items off?
Well, nobody can remove accurate information.
Okay.
So anybody, if you read online, somebody says, you know, we guarantee to remove 100% of your negative information, that's a violation, number one. Number two, it's just not possible to be able to predict the future. There's too many third parties involved. You know, I have seen all different types of accounts be removed with our strategies. But, you know, anything that is 100% accurate, timely, and verifiable by law cannot be removed, and no one would be able to remove that until the timeliness of that, you know, if it was, say, a bankruptcy from discharge Chapter 7, 10 years later, that would eventually be removed. I mean, the good thing is credit will always eventually get better. What we specialize in is making sure that we exercise the laws that consumers have on their side to be able to make sure that credit report is 100% accurate, timely, verifiable, that things are just being reported correctly. And third-party research has showed that over 80% of credit reports contain errors.
Okay. But if someone does have those liens or judgments or bankruptcies, in essence, those will remain on your credit report. There are some strategies, maybe out of the fault or by accident or something like that, that they get taken off or...
Not by accident.
Okay.
By the law, by the requirements.
Okay.
Just because somebody reports a judgment does not mean that it is accurate. It could be something that was placed on, you know, 5 years after, or maybe they paid the judgment after, or they paid the item before it went to judgment. The judgment was accidentally filed. Maybe the judgment is incomplete. There's not a docket number. There's not a date. There's variances on the judgment itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the items on there need to be accurate, timely, and verifiable. And if they're reporting to all three credit bureaus, they should be reported exactly the same across all three credit bureaus.
Okay. You mentioned earlier regarding short sales. So short sales also show up on the person's credit report?
It can show up. It may say paid for less than full balance or settled, and that's typically would just be on the actual mortgage account. And I know there's a lot of debate. Is a short sale worse than a foreclosure? On a reporting status, I wouldn't necessarily say one way or the other, because there's no definitive, you know, if I've seen somebody have a foreclosure, that could possibly go to judgment. So then there may be two negative accounts reporting instead of just the one.
Wow.
That could potentially be more negative, but once they're past that 90 days late, which typically on a short sale, people are going to be late. Typically, the bank won't deal with somebody unless they go late, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's a short sale or a foreclosure, if there's duplicate reporting, like you have a judgment and you have the actual negative reporting of the mortgage being the short sale, turned into the foreclosure, and then it got judgment, that could potentially be worse. But once you're 90 days late, you know, the reoccurring of the incident is going to be on both sides, either foreclosure or short sale.
Okay, I follow. Well, you mentioned earlier, I think, in the interview, you talked about the collector. So when transferring all this data from the person who owned the credit. Now they sold it to now a collector, and this collector is now reporting. So you're having, like, for example, your Chase card is showing, okay, this information. Now the collector is showing this information. This collector is selling to another collector, and there's another line of information. How does that really play into trying to get this resolved? Because it's still one debt. Now you're having three companies reporting negative information.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is 100% illegal.
Okay.
Because if somebody, if you take the original creditor, let's go back through how you drew it out. So you take the original creditor, you know, they'll hold that file typically for 6 months in-house before it goes to collections. So they say they hold it for six months in their own in-house collections department, try to collect on that card. That consumer does not pay, or they don't get payment from that consumer, so then they escalate it to another company. And there's a couple different things that would happen with a collection company. The original creditor may assign it to a collection company where they have the ability to collect on the debt, but they don't own it. Or they may sell that debt. Now, in your case, it sounds like they probably sold that debt to the collector.
Okay.
So they sold that debt to the collector. The collector then most likely tried to contact the consumer. And, you know, there still is requirements, you know, depending on the type of account it is, but they should have original copies of the contract. They should have those signed. And a lot of times what we found is that collection companies will buy debt based on spreadsheets, so they're not actually going to have the required information a lot of times that to be able to report that data. But, again, there's no process to really verify that before it gets put on the credit bureau.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have, let's say we start at that first collector. Now they're trying to collect on the debt and say they can't get it, so they bought it for, say, 25 cents on the dollar, and now they want to recover some of their losses. So now they sold that account to the second collector. Well, no, the mid-collector immediately has no more ability to collect on that debt. They do not own that debt. That would be illegal for them to report on that debt because now there's a duplicate occurrence.
Okay.
And I can argue that the original creditor really should not be reporting on that debt. Although they did originally own that debt, they did have a payment history, they had a lot of information and data on the file.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that that still is a duplicate reporting. You can only report the negative item one time.
Okay.
So they sold. The second collector typically will then sell that for, say, 10 cents on the dollar. And what happens a lot of times with collection companies is they will get more, they sell it for less money, so they're not as concerned to, typically the people that are buying second, third, fourth placement debt are not as diligent about collecting the required documentation to collect that debt. So they're just putting it on there, sending out a collections letter, you know, sending out a Dunning's letter, which should have been done originally, but to collect on the debt. So a lot of times as it goes further and further down, they may have duplicate or triplicate reportings of an account that nobody has any sort of verification for.
Okay. And speaking of that, so, for example, should a person really settle with a company if they have this debt with one of these companies? So if it's going to the fifth company, hey, while it's settled with you, I'll owe the actual original company $1,000. I'll pay you $100 to settle that. Should they be doing that? Or I know they shouldn't make good on the debt if they really owe it, but how does that affect their credit?
The credit would be one thing. The score is going to be another. So should they pay it, like you said, anything that anyone truly believes that they owe, I believe ethically they need to pay for. If you owe a debt, you should pay for it. If somebody agrees to settle on the debt because the first company already wrote it off, so they took a tax write-off, and then you paid less, you know, like you said, $100, so you've paid 10% out of the $1,000 balance.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit of settling on that is, number one, that account would be closed.
Okay.
So, number two, they probably won't try to sell that account, and if they did and somebody else tried to collect on it and you had documentation, now they're violating the law because they're trying to collect on an uncollectible debt because it's already paid.
Mm-hmm.
However, you need to be strategic on how you do that because there's a couple dates. There's a reporting date and a last active date. And sometimes when you're paying things like collections, the wrong date will get updated. So if somebody's in the process of buying a home and part of their requirements or their conditions to purchase the home would be to pay off a debt or pay off a collection, they should try to make that a closing condition and pay that in closing so they don't pull credit again before your closing date. And then, you know, sometimes I've seen them drop 50, 75, even 100 points by somebody taking a positive step in paying a collection because the wrong date was updated.
Wow. So you should do part of your closing. Now, most banks would say, hey, you have to pay this in order to close. So you kind of in a loop situation, so you can pay it. So in a sense, you can pay it a couple of days before you actually close, because the before they do the last preparation of documents, as long as you show them you paid it before they're closing and for them to close, that's when they should be able to do that, not to do it way in advance. Right.
As late as they can with, you know, underwriting guidelines and the requirements of that particular bank. They don't want to pay it up front. You know, if they're closing in 90 days, they definitely wouldn't want to pay it today because that has the potential to drop their score.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, no problem. In on your website, you have the secrets behind your credit scores. Can you talk about that document? I think the first one you said, the different credit score models. I know we talked about it earlier, but just can you kind of re-elaborate on that? And then we'll talk about the credit score breakdown.
Sure. Well, the credit scoring models, there are literally like probably thousands of different ones. Okay. The only one that I am really familiar with and understand how it works is the one that I'm aware only matters, which is going to be the FICO model.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the FICO model, again, is the risk predictor. All the other ones that you purchase are going to be, if a consumer can purchase them, most times they're going to be consumer education scores. If you look down at the bottom of most of those websites or most of the reports where you can purchase, like get a free trial and get your credit scores, most of those reports at the bottom or the website at the bottom will say this is not the score or this is not the credit score that your lenders use.
Oh, wow.
So it is nothing more than an education piece is what I've come to find out. And unfortunately, because it is a very profitable industry, they're trying to eliminate FICO. So they sell these credit scores, and then when a consumer will go, let's say we're talking about a home loan, so they may pull one of these free scores or free reports with scores, and then they get they get a free trial, and then they get their credit report and access to the score. The score will oftentimes be different by 70, 80, even 100 points, and almost always the score the consumer will first look at is going to be dramatically higher than what the lender will actually pull.
Wow, so and you mentioned earlier they should just go to maybe like a mortgage company or maybe like a home builder and do a tri-merge and pull a mortgage score, and you can see all their scores there and you know what you're dealing with. And most of them will do
it. If they're in the process of purchasing a home, that is definitely what they would want to do. If they want to be the smart consumer and do the right thing, you know, it's always better to be proactive than reactive. So, I mean, we'd be happy to do a free credit review with them, give them, you know, they can do an annual credit report, or they can, you know, if they have a copy of their credit report, we can review that with them and go through different things that may be possibly inaccurate or things that we see that may be incorrect or incomplete, and walk them through their credit report so that if they do have things that are harmful and they do have potential damages and violations on their credit report, they can have a professional like our firm help them to get their credit into a place so that they do qualify for a mortgage, for the job, for the promotion, so make sure they get the best rate on their car and they can drive away with the lowest insurance rates.
Great. The other question you have on here, it says the credit score breakdown. Can you talk about the credit score breakdown with payment history and so forth?
Sure. The largest segment on the credit on the FICO credit score, because that's the only one that I again, will focus on, is the first segment is going to be 35%, and that is payment history. So that can be, you know, obviously would be, you know, your mortgage payments, your vehicle payments, your credit card payments, but then also things like a judgment would be a negative impact on the 35%. And then 30%, which is the second largest factor, is going to be the amounts owed. And that's going to be like in the mortgage world, they call that utilization. Or if we go back to the $1,000 example, you have a $1,000 credit card limit, you have a $100 balance, you are 10% utilized. So you have 90% available, and that is a great thing. There's a lot of misinformation out there about utilization. In the mortgage arena, they talk about 30% a lot. But if you have your credit card balances, have them at 30% or less. That is incorrect. I was taught personally by somebody who worked at FICO and who worked for one of the big credit bureaus, and that Mr. X told me that, and he helped build, you know, worked in the FICO, you know, for FICO for 7 years. So in that arena, 1% utilized is going to be the best. If you do not use your credit cards and you did not use them, say, for 2 years, the FICO model could actually bypass it and not even factor those in. 1% is going to be the best. Anything above that is going to have a negative impact. But obviously the higher you get, 30, 40, 50, 60% balances can have a big impact on your score.
Okay.
So you want to use them. I just say 10% is a safe place. 10% or under, keep the balances at. If you did have a lot of times people who are reestablishing credit or are rebuilding credit may only get approved for a $300 credit card, and that's their limit. But, you know, if they had to make a purchase, you know, they went to the grocery store, things are more costly today, so they spend $250. The only thing I'd recommend is that as soon as they get back and that balance shows up, maybe pay it down to $30 so that the time they report that balance and also the time that that typically will get reported to the credit bureaus is as low as possible to make sure they're maximizing their score and eliminating risk.
Okay. And also you have here the length of credit history.
That's 15%. And 15% would be like we talked about with the 800-plus credit scores. Typically, you're going to have about a 20-year credit card revolving history.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have an open-ended credit account, and that would be 15%. And then the next two are 10% and 10%. And 10% is type of credit used. And types of credit meaning revolving, which is typically credit card.
Okay.
Installment, which is going to be like an auto loan. And really the best mix of credit from a general standpoint, I mean, no one size fits all, but the general thing to think about is 3 to 5 revolving accounts or credit cards, 1 installment, and 1 mortgage. That would get you the ability to have a good mix of credit and then also maximize that 30% by utilization.
Okay.
And then the last one is new credit or credit inquiries. And that's also something that people worry so much about. Don't pull my credit. I don't want to pull my credit because I don't want my score to drop. That has such a small impact that, you know, if you're going to get a mortgage, it's okay to have them look at your credit because you need to know where you are so you can find out where you need to go and make sure that you're in a good place when you do find the home that you want to own and make sure that you're prepared and in the right position.
Okay. So can those inquiries be taken off your report as well, or are they?
Anything that's not 100% accurate, timely, and verifiable, by law, has the ability to be removed.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. In closing, anything you'd like to add? I mean, I appreciate you coming on today. Anything you want to close with about your company and how they can reach you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, they can call me directly, and my toll-free line would be 877-300-0855. Again, that's 877-300-0855. And, you know, I'd be happy to do a free credit review with, you know, as long as they mention that we came from Blog Talk Radio. Tim asked you to give me a call. I'd be happy to do a free credit review. And then we also, on our website, perfectcreditfast.com. Again, it's perfectcreditfast.com. com. If you just go on the left side, they can just go to that website and fill in their name and email, just first name and email, and we will actually give them a free 30-day credit repair course.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I think
Go ahead.
No, so again, what's that telephone number again?
877-300-0855.
Okay, and the website is?
PerfectCreditFast.com.
Okay, great. Anything else you'd like to close with?
No, I mean, I just look forward to helping anybody, educate anybody that would give us a call. And, you know, everybody has the right to have the credit they deserve, and we're here to help people make sure that that happens.
Great. Shane, I really appreciate you coming on to the program. Appreciate you sharing like a vast knowledge with us regarding credit and how a person can maintain and incorrect information on the credit bureau. So thank you again for your time. Thank you for your patience with me. And thank you guys for tuning in. Again, this is Tim Jacquet with Block Talk Radio, Apple Capital Group. Shane, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Great.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. This show can be downloaded on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining in to the program and wish you have a safe and great week. Take care. Again, Tim Jacquet with Apple Capital Group.